Council's or its SSC's review of the information in the report and the important issues it raises. That's in the second paragraph of the letter. So I'm not here to debate the report, to comment on it. All I'm here to do is to suggest to the Council that we need to follow through with Director Schwab's suggestions, which I thought were quite good. So I would move, in keeping with the National Marine Fisheries Service Director Eric Schwab's suggestion to Chairman Pappalotto, the MFI report on scientific and economic information that supports increases in multi-species groundfish annual catch limits be forwarded to the SSC for a review of the reports. Number one, scientific basis for increased ACLs, including the effect of direct estimates of FMSY instead of proxy values on OFL projections and ABC recommendations for 2012 through 13 groundfish specifications, and two, assumptions and conclusions about economic impacts. So that is my motion, Mr. Chairman, once again following through with the suggestion made by Director Schwab.
There's a second. Seconded by Dave Gaethel. Discussion? Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder why it is that the SSC can't look at this without the council sending it to them. I tend to think that we may in some way indicate that this has more importance than something else for them to consider. So I can't support it. I would, and I don't see any reason why the SSC on their own can't get the report and consider it if they so want to.
Rip, we have when the SSC doesn't do things on their own, we have a process where they take terms of reference. And I would think it would be a good term of reference for when they evaluate 2012 and 2013, that they look at MSY values, that they look at what was done. I think that would be a good term of reference. So if this is a term of reference for the SSC to look at when they're doing their work for ABCs and ACLs, when are they meeting, Tom? To examine this while they're doing their ABC work.
I'm a little confused exactly how this fits in with the setting of ABCs. Examining this report. I mean, if you're talking about having them examine this report when they actually set the ABCs in August, I mean, that's actually kind of too late. But I'm also a little confused as exactly how that fits in. We're not, as you were briefed but during the executive committee report, we're not doing new assessments this year. We normally change reference points at assessments, not in between, though I guess there's nothing that, I don't know if there's a different process that can be used to do that. I'm not quite sure what this motion means. Does it mean examine the report and say, yes, these are good ideas. They should be considered in the next assessments that are done. It's not clear to me how this would really fit in very well with the ABC setting process as we've laid it out. Now, if we lay out a different process, maybe it would. But as we have it laid out right now, it's difficult for me to see how this really works.
Dr. Pierce?
Once again, this was Director Schwab's suggestion. This is not out of the blue. In addition, I did run the suggestion, the approach by the current chair of the SSC, Steve Cadron. I said, is this sensible? Is this doable? Is it correct? And he said, yes, it is. It's a fine approach to use. Plus, it fits in very well. The timing of this fits in very well with that February workshop that's been scheduled on ACL setting. That I suspect will also provide a forum for discussions of these types. I don't know how it'll end up, but it is a forum. And indeed, as Paul said, the SSC needs to be given some direction. It's not going to do it on its own. So, again, Eric Schwab said, do it. Good idea. So I'm offering it up as an approach.
I think that the heartburn that Tom is having is that you've talked about linking your motion to the ABC setting process for this year. In truth, the SSC has several months in following February and March and possibly early April. Now, February and March, where they're relatively free to do other things. So depending on what your decision is, there may be time during that period for them to conduct a review and discuss the paper. They are familiar with it. They've talked about it before, but not actually the substance of the paper. So there is an opportunity, but it would have to be a decision of the it would have to be a TOR for them. And maybe this isn't quite the TOR, I'm not sure, but there is opportunity for them to review this work.
Thank you. So the complicating thing that I know a lot of people have discussed is the role that Dr. Cadron has played in putting out alternative science to what was put forward by the SSC. Now, if this report, which he is a lead author on, is referred back to the SSC, which he chairs, how does he engage in a discussion of a report that he developed outside the realm of the SSC, but which is now going to be reviewed by it? There's a conflict there. It's been confusing and complicated to try to follow and understand what his role is. He certainly served the council very well in the role as SSC chair, and at the same time, it's been confusing to understand how he is engaging in this other activity to explore different approaches to setting ACLs. Now, if this goes back to the SSC, I don't see how he can engage in essentially a peer review of his own work, which is unfortunate because he's such a strong member there, but it just doesn't seem like it can happen. So it in my mind begs a larger question as far as how we can have SSC members play the role that we need them to, as Steve has done so well for the council chairing the SSC, and at the same time do their day jobs, or in this case their evening jobs, since my understanding that this is above and beyond what his role is at SMAST. So this begs a lot of questions about the SSC function, how they're going to review this if it does go back, and how the chair is going to be able to engage or not.
It's not a new issue for the SSC. We've had SSC members that have needed to recuse themselves from debate and decision-making, consensus-making. It's somewhat common in the scientific community. There's only so many eggheads that work on fish. I use that as a term of endearment, but the opportunity for overlap is always there in this realm. So if the council wants to ask the SSC to use time it has upcoming to indeed do this work, and wants this to become perhaps a term of reference for the upcoming work, and the SSC, number one, finds the work of value, and number two, wants to apply it to the upcoming ABC work, that ignites several other questions that we'll have to deal with down the road. But to your question, Steve, I think, could very easily represent the work to the SSC, but recuse himself from running the meeting and being engaged in any of the work or decision-making that the SSC would have. Sally.
I agree on paper. However, he's the chair of the SSC, and I understand that in various situations, people in a decision-making body recuse themselves from debate or votes depending on what's at hand. It does put the rest of the SSC in an awkward position in reviewing the very public, very politicized work that their chairman has done. So it's, while the process on paper might be something that in theory is done by common practice, this is a different kind of situation. So I want to raise it because it's, in my view, it's the elephant in the room. And we need to be clear, as the SSC over the last year and a half has really started to get its feet under itself and serve this body really well. And I want to make sure that we do what we can to support it so that it can continue to do its good work, even as that committee is put in an awkward position by this kind of request.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Eric's point in the letter was that there has been this dialogue going on between NOAA and the state of Massachusetts that has not involved the council, that it is important that the council be part of that process. It is important that the council be part of any kind of fishery management discussions on groundfish or any of the other species under their jurisdiction. And so trying to bring the discussion back into that arena is critical. I agree with the chair about Steve being able to recuse himself from this discussion. I mean, I think clearly he has to do that, and that an alternate chair or the vice chair would have to serve as chair for this particular discussion. I also think that it's appropriate for the SSC to have this discussion because the information in the report goes directly to their work and their advice. And at some point, they will have to discuss it. So whether they discuss it in the context of this report and as a separate discussion, or whether they ultimately discuss it in the next set of specifications and ABC setting, I think is in some ways irrelevant. I really think they have to address the issue.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there's a point here that's being missed. If you look at Eric Schwab's letter, the second paragraph, he says, while the data and suggestions raised in the report do not justify action to override the council's or your SSC scientific judgment as requested by the Commonwealth, I would welcome the council's or its SSC's review of the information in the report. We're not talking about any kind of decision situation here, but merely a review. He even states that the suggestions do not justify action. So on that basis, I would not support the motion as it's currently written. Where'd it go? Okay. I think that if you stop at the colon and eliminate the rest of it, then the objection goes away. But I think if we start dictating what the review should include, that we are stepping way beyond what Eric Schwab's letter states here. I have no objection whatever. In fact, I agree with Pat. It's probably a good thing for us to review this and for the SSC to review it. But then when we dictate to the SSC what we want them to take out of the review, looking at the scientific basis, well, from one on, then I think we step over the line. And that I object to, and I would not support the motion in its current form.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that a significant chunk of work has already been The center has agreed to take on a significant amount of work this spring and early summer for the biennial updates of the GARM stocks. And so I'm just pointing out that it's important, I think, what you ask the SSC to do. And I think Dave Preble's comment is appropriate in that sense. Given that the Science Center is going to be doing a whole bunch of calculations and working with your groundfish PDT to provide information for the biennial update of the GARM stocks. So it's always important to have new information and to ask questions and so forth, but to be aware of not creating conflicts. And I wanted you to be aware that the center is going to be doing these analyses this spring and providing that information to you based on the information that was approved in the GARM 3 peer review. So that will be used as the basis for those for biological reference points.
I have Dave Gaethel, Pat Fiorelli, Doug Grout.
Okay, first to the issue of recusal. This happens at the Research Steering Committee all the time. That isn't a big deal. I mean, we have people all the time that are on the committee that have a final report that gets reviewed. They recuse themselves. They sit in the audience. They answer questions. Sometimes I've had them as chair. I sit in the audience. The vice chair runs the meeting. Not a big deal. To the issue of how information makes its way to the SSC, SMAS and the state of Massachusetts were criticized for not taking this information to the SSC before going to the public. Now it seems ironic that people are trying to block this information from going to the SSC to be reviewed. I think this is entirely appropriate. To my way of reading this letter, it states that that this information should be forwarded by the council to the SSC. And I think this is entirely appropriate that we set a term of reference for them to review it and have a debate and get back to us and let us know what they think. I for one, would like to know what they have to say as a group because I think this is a very important point. There are a lot of important points scientifically raised in this document, and I'd like to have people weigh in on their validity. Very, very important points.
I don't want to prolong the conversation unnecessarily, but I think people need to keep in mind that there are a range of opinions on the SSC about Steve's report. There are emails back and forth amongst SSC members and so forth. So I don't think you need to worry about them being in lockstep with the chairman. Also, as David points out, I think if they take a position where they are not in the at the table, they are people presenting to the SSC. The dynamic has changed there a little bit. I think another chair, whether it's the vice or somebody else, is essential. And I had a third point. Whoops, it's gone now. But anyway, I just wanted you to know that you really have a lot of strong opinions on the SSC. There are people that are used to expressing their, making their points, expressing their opinions very freely. So I think that that setup will work out. I have a lot of confidence in it, actually.
Doug?
I'm going to support the motion with or without one or two. Pat made the points about whether there was going to be any conflict or interest. I don't think there's any discomfort among scientists in viewing their opinion. The guy doesn't sign their paycheck. So,
Sally.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying that this shouldn't go to the SSC. I'm pointing out the obvious into the microphone that everybody's been kind of whispering about for the last several months. That the chair of the SSC, for whatever reason, is in an awkward position. And I do, I have a lot of respect for him, and I'm very grateful for the work that he's done on behalf of this this body. I just want to point that out. And I would support getting rid of 1 and 2 and letting the SSC do their job as we have encouraged them to for the past year. Thanks.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd make a motion to amend and that would be to eliminate everything after the colon. Then it's fine.
Is there a second? Strike everything below the colon?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Yeah, just send it to a review, like Eric Schwab said.
Is there a second? Mr. Libby? Discussion on the motion to amend?
Yeah, very briefly, because I've already said it once. This is exactly what Eric Schwab asked us to do, and we should send it without limitations and without specifications from this council, because the council, as he said, that the data and suggestions do not justify action to override the council's or your SSC scientific judgment. So I think we should look at this in detail. I haven't had a chance to yet, and I think the SSC should as well, and that's what this motion now does.
Thank you. Anyone else in favor of the motion to amend? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Twelve opposed. Two abstentions. None. Motion to amend carries 12-2. Now we're on the main motion as amended. Dr. Pierce.
I don't want to make a big deal out of it. The SSC may ask, what do you want us to review in the report? So I'll make a motion to amend that we include, after the word reports, put in the colon. I'm sorry. Get rid of the colon. The report, scientific basis for increased ACLs and assumptions and conclusions about economic impacts. So that strikes out the other language in there that I think served as a bit of a lightning rod for some people. And it becomes more specific as to what we would like them to review. The title of the report is Scientific Basis for Increasing ACLs, so why not just say it? Review of the report, Scientific Basis for Increased ACLs and the Assumptions and Conclusions about the Economic Impacts. The reason why I put that latter text in there about economic impacts is that we have changed the configuration of the SSC to some extent. We have done what they wanted us to do, which was to include more people in the SSC with this kind of expertise, so it seemed sensible to highlight for the benefit of those new individuals for the SSC as a body that we'd like them to target that as well. So that's my motion to amend.
David, this is strikingly similar to what we had before, right?
No, it deletes the language, including the effect of direct estimates of FFMSY instead of proxy values on OFL projections and ABC recommendations for 2012-13 groundwater specifications. So it gets rid of that qualifier that I think created the concern expressed by David. It's more specific now, a review of what? Review of the scientific basis for increased ACLs and assumptions and conclusions about economic impacts. Just clarifies it, that's all.
Discussion? Jim? Oh, is there a second? David, Gaethel, Jimmy?
Well, in the motion it asks them to review it, then what, are we asking them to report back to us? I mean, I don't know if we need to be that implicit, or is that just... that's just automatic that they'll report it back to us, their conclusions. We're just asking them
it's
to review
implicit.
It.
Yeah.
It's in there? Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else? On the motion to amend? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Four. Opposed? Ten in opposition. No abstentions. Motion to amend fails. Back on the main motion. Anything further? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. It's unanimous. Anything else underground fish? Dr. Pierce.
Yes, I have another motion to make, and it relates to transparency. It relates to our, that is the council and others, getting a better understanding as to what's going on with the trading of ACE, leasing of ACE between sectors. Not too long ago, the service had a website that actually provided this kind of information, so anybody could go to the website to see what was happening, what was being traded between ACEs, and the price that was being offered for that fish. And then for some reason, the website was taken down. My understanding is that sector managers requested it. I'm still not exactly sure why. Pat shaking your head, so I guess there's another reason why. Because sectors are not individuals, because they have the rule of three, confidentiality is there. Information can be acquired from sectors because they are, what happens within a sector is not identified. Rule of three, right? Okay, so if that's the case, then I wonder why this council can't have that information made available to it. It's collected information in terms of transfers, fish, pounds, price. So I would move to reestablish sector ACE trading information on the National Marine Fisheries Service Northeast Multi-Species Groundfish Monitoring Reports webpage, including within-year information, poundage and price paid, detailing ACE held and transferred between sectors.
There's a second. Dave Gaethel, discussion. Pat Kirkle.
Actually, it was not removed because the sectors requested it. It was removed because the General Counsel made the determination that it was confidential information. The website is, the program is still operational. We're just not posting it on the website, so we could easily repost it, but we do have the confidentiality problem. We've talked about it a little in-house, and there may be some options for the council to do something to make this information available. If, for example, it's a regulatory requirement that it be released, that kind of thing, then we may find a way around it. But for right now, it's been determined to be confidential.
Yeah, Pat, it would be helpful then if you could provide the council with some explanation as to why it is confidential, so we can benefit from that knowledge, and that'll give us some further guidance down the road. Something in writing would be great. Something we could reference and review, since I'm having a lot of trouble understanding why it truly is confidential, and why, you know, we're now forced to, as a council, concerned about sector management, since it's the focal point of our entire way of managing groundfish. Why we are all deprived of knowing, at least in a coarse way, what's going on between sectors. Never mind within sectors. That's another story. So again, could you share that with us? If there's something in writing, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, no, it was the opinion was not in writing, and I would turn to Gene if you want to maybe amplify on the reason why. As far as I know, anyway, there was nothing in writing.
I think the distinction to understand about whether a sector is an individual or not for purposes of the confidentiality provision in the Madison Stevens Act is that the sector, through the sector manager, is required as an entity to report these trades. And so in that context, because there's a requirement for the sector to report, that sector entity takes on the same kind of status as a legal person for purposes of that statute only. And because of the individualistic requirement to the sector to report the information. Now, it's, you know, we, it's not necessarily opinion. I mean, I wasn't making the final opinion myself as the person involved with this in my office. Joel McDonald is actually the confidentiality guru in our office. So, you know, you can make the request and, to, you know, to have something in writing to further explain this if you want, or even to further consider it in light of the council's concerns. But I think that's the sort of the nub of why this particular situation creates a confidentiality concern, even though it's not a person as normally the sector or calling a sector a person or an individual is not normally attributed to this kind of organization.
Dave, let me suggest this. I think if we could take the vote and what have you, or I can just write a letter asking for a written explanation.
Yeah, I would withdraw the motion if there is no objection, and I would greatly appreciate your following through with that suggestion. I think a written explanation would be very useful for all of us. This is a rather significant decision by council. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't agree with it, but then again, I'm not an attorney, and I'm no expert on confidentiality rules and regulations, but this has implications for down-the-road work that we do, ITQs, for example. So I'd appreciate that letter, John. Yeah.
I could use your motion that you withdrew to guide the letter. Okay. Paul Howard?
Dave, would you think that this information would help the council measure how they're meeting their goals for Amendment 16?
I suspect it would provide some insight. More insight would be provided if we knew what was going on within the sectors, but that's not going to be available to us.
So, Gene, I send that to Joel. Addressed confidentiality guru. Top secret. Okay. David?
I think it would also help, in addition to understanding the legal ramifications, if he could supply any possible modifications that the council could work through to get past this roadblock. Because I agree with David. I think we can't possibly figure out whether we're achieving our goals and objectives if we don't have any information on what's going on within these trades.
Jimmy?
Has anybody asked the sectors if they'd volunteer the information? And if they did volunteer, would they still have to abide by the confidentiality? If they would?
No, they can agree to release it.
I'm just asking the question. I don't know how they would respond, but if nobody's asked the question, we'll never know.
Not every sector has expressed a willingness to have this information be public.
So I'll write that letter. Pat?
One more thing, just really quickly, Mr. Chair. I understand there were some questions during the reports on Tuesday about how we calculate discard estimates for the ground fix sectors. So we have handed out a one-page summary of that process with a link to a much more detailed report on the process. This is something we've had a lot of discussions with the sectors and the sector managers about. We do this the same for every sector. This is a process that has also gone through peer review. And so I offer you the one pager, and if you have any questions, maybe we could put it on the agenda for the next council meeting.
Anything else under groundfish? Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last item was the TMGC report. As chair, I should be giving a report, but we have not had a meeting since the international agreement. I don't know if Pat has any updates you wanted to give us on where things are at the moment.
I think George talked about it under reports on Tuesday. We've got a... Yeah, and that's where we are right now. We're just in the process of setting up the meetings, and including the one that will be U.S. TMGC members only, which I think is February 2nd? 1st. February 1st. And then the follow-up meeting on February 9th.
That's the end of the groundfish committee report.
Jimmy?
I know timing is an issue because I know people want to be able to think about May 1st. And I'm wondering, after the TMGC meeting, whatever is negotiated normally comes back to the council for approval. And we're not meeting till when? End of May? End of April? I'm wondering if there's a way to... not have to wait till then to try to move this thing along. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. Since this is a very unusual process and we do want to take advantage of the legislation, we're not anticipating that we'd be following the typical process where it goes through the council and then implemented through a framework action. If there is some recommendation for change, we would likely implement it through an emergency action, so it would not come back to the council in April. And the goal would be to have something in place certainly no later than May 1st. If there was some possibility of having something in place a bit earlier than that, we certainly wouldn't rule it out, but it would be difficult to do.
So that the committee will do their normal routine and then submit whatever the results of that direct to the service?
Yeah, I think we'd follow at least that part of the process. The TMGC recommendation then actually goes to the steering committee, and then from the steering committee it comes back to the individual countries. Yeah.
Anything else on the groundfish? Jim?
A question for Pat. Pat, that one-page document referring to the estimation of discard, is that available for anyone? I looked on the table. I couldn't find any copies.
Were there extra copies? I don't know if there were extra copies or not, but you could certainly have mine, Jim.
I'll take someone's.
George has got one.
Okay, is that it? Okay. We'll move on. 2 hours behind schedule. We have the general counsel review behind tab one. That'd be you, Mitch. We'll take a quick 5-minute break, and then when we come back, we'll go back to you.